Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome back to part two. We are here in the moon underwater. I, John Robbins, the landlord, Robin Allender, the lovely Robin, my regular. And this week's guest creating her dream pub is Katie Thistleton. And Katie, I saw you in some distress just as we sort of moved from part one to part two because you were on those tenterhooks about the quiz and they were causing you some physical discomfort. I saw there those tenterhooks.
Yes, I think, yeah, showing my age a little bit here with some of those theme tunes. I think I've got number two, but I'm not so sure on the others.
I wonder if actually we're all too young to know any what even any of those programmes might have been.
I know of all the three programmes in the option for clip one. Mm. Only one of them have I ever really watched a bit of. And I recognise the tune, but I just couldn't tell you.
Robin, put us out of our misery, please.
Thanks, John. Yes, so thanks so much to Max Tundra for whistling those theme tunes. And the first clip, the options were Some Mothers Do Have Them, LOLO, or Birds of a Feather.
Well, I recognise it, so I'm going to go LOLO.
LOLO it was.
Yay!
It very much was. The theme tune was written by one of the writers, David Croft, with Roy Moore, and remarkably, actress Carmen Silvera, who played Edith, added lyrics to the song and released it as a single in 1986.
Wow.
Same thing happened with EastEnders theme.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
Did it? What did they sing to it? EastEnders, EastEnders.
No, anyone can fall in love.
Oh, God, I remember that.
It's Anita Dobson.
What a terrible idea.
Hey, I'll not hear a word said against the Dobster or Mrs. Sir Brian May.
Could you do it with Coronation Street? Coronation Street. Coronation Street.
Birds of a Feather had a nice theme tune, though.
Really?
Do when you ever away. Mm. Yes.
What
did I do? That was lovely.
Anyway, question two was the multiple choice was Channel 4 News, Newsnight, or Panorama. So, Katie.
Oh, God, I thought it was Panorama, and now I'm like, is it Newsnight?
Would you like a little bit of it?
Go on, then. Oh, God. I'm going to go Channel 4 News.
I'm also going Channel 4 News.
It is Channel 4 News.
It is Channel 4 News. God, do you know what? The only thing that was stopping me thinking it was that is what a long theme tune for the news.
Well, the original doesn't have that kind of voice of the builder sort of interrupting it. Yeah.
Well, no.
It'd be quite confusing.
But it goes on quite a while, doesn't it?
The third one, was it Robin's Nest, Butterflies, or Sorry with Ronnie Corbett? So, Katie.
I've never even heard of any of those shows. I'm going to go Sorry.
I'm also going Sorry.
You both got 3 out of 3. It is Sorry.
That was a complete guess.
Sorry was a brilliant theme tune, which has been covered by Matt Berry. And it was composed by Gaynor Coburn and Hugh Wisdom. And the recording was conducted by the great Ronnie Hazelhurst, who he composed many great theme tunes, including Some Others Do Have Them.
Superb stuff. Perfect. Perfect scores from both of us.
I know. I'm surprised I did so well at that.
And thanks again to Max Tundra.
What a whistler. One of the great whistlers. And music's gain has been shepherding's loss, if you ask me. He could have been one of the great sheepdog trainers.
You're absolutely right.
We head back to Katie Thistleton's dream pub. So far, we've got Diet Coke and Coke Zero on draft, J2O and Oyster Bay Sauvignon Blanc white wine in bottles. But we move on to your spirit choices. Are you much of a spirit drinker, Katie?
Yeah, I do. I like a gin, so I'm going to go for a gin as my first one. But I honestly think, are these, so far, have these been the most common choices of anyone you've ever had on?
Oh, goodness me, no. No, check out Alistair Green.
Okay, good. Because, yeah, my drink choices are a little bit common. So much so, I actually only just recently started drinking wine without putting lemonade in it. White wine. Like, my palate has only just advanced to be able to handle white wine without lemonade in it. And when I first started going out with my now husband, we'd go out with his, like, parents, and they, like, seemed to, like, know their wines, and his dad would agonise for ages over the wine list, and then was really offended once when I just stuck a cloudy lemonade in with this really nice expensive wine. Ooh. They didn't have any other option. There was only cloudy available, and that's when I learned that cloudy lemonade doesn't really work as a spritzer. But yeah, I do have quite common drink choices, and I'm going for a gin, and I will offend people with this, but I'm going for a pink gin.
Nothing wrong with a pink gin. Any brand in particular?
I like a gin that tastes pink. My favourite one is the Two Birds Strawberry and Vanilla Gin. That is excellent. And they sell it on Moonpig. It's funny because when I try and find it... Right, this is the thing.
Sell it on Moonpig.
Well, this is the thing, right? They don't sell it in any of the supermarkets near me, but I had it in a bar once and I was like, God, that's a good pink gin. What's that? And they said it's the Two Birds Strawberry and Vanilla. So then I Googled it, and one of the main places you can get it, Moonpig. So I will often just Moonpig myself a bottle of it, which is nice because it just feels like you're getting a gift, but it's from me to me.
I thought it would be like your friends are saying, like, God, you're getting me a lot of birthday cards at the moment. You know? Like, you don't have to get a greetings card.
Yeah, just for an excuse. I'll just bulk buy some cards and maybe stick a bottle of gin in while I'm at it. Yeah, I have to Moonpig it to myself.
Katie, it's also available from very well-respected alcohol merchants, Master of Malt.
Okay.
They actually have tasting notes by Master of Malt. It's got one review, one star, too sweet. May be good for fans of gin liqueurs. Very sweet, syrupy, almost like a liqueur. The flavourings work together, but way too much sugar. Obviously hiding the harsh alcohol, as there's not much gin coming through either.
Oh, well, that says it all.
I mean, but whoever's written that's just got a condolences card from the epic as well. So they weren't feeling tip-top.
Well, that says it all. If I read that review, I'd go, brilliant, sign me up, get me 10 bottles of it, because I want things to taste sweet. I've got a sweet tooth, I'm a sugar addict, and the sweeter the better. If there's no alcohol taste and it just tastes like I'm essentially drinking a child's drink, like a J2O, that's what I want.
Well, in sort of witness for the defence, on Amazon, you get it on Amazon, it's got 16 reviews averaging 4.7 stars.
Oh, okay. Is that out of 5 or 10?
That's out of 5.
Okay, you're good.
And it's there in your dream pub because we like what we like. So pink gin, Two Birds Strawberry and Vanilla from moonpig.com.
It's actually more red in colour, actually. That makes it sound less basic than just having a pink gin.
And what would be your second choice?
My second would be a rum. So rum used to sort of always be my spirit of choice before I discovered that I liked gin, because I thought I didn't like gin, but it turns out I don't like tonic. And this is a mistake lots of people make.
That's a superb point.
Honestly, so many people think I don't like gin. It's the tonic that's the nasty bitter stuff. So then once I started having gin with lemonade, I was like, oh no, I do like gin. So my mum claims that she drinks gin and tonic because of the calming qualities of the quinine in tonic water, but I think it might be something to do with the alcohol content. But yeah, I've realised I don't like tonic water. My palate is not advanced enough for that. So I've now discovered gin and lemonade, so that's what I tend to drink. But what used to be my spirit before that was rum and Coke. And I don't have this as much now, and I'll tell you for why. Because if I have a heavy night on the spirits and mix them with Coca-Cola, then the next day when I go to have a hangover Coca-Cola, all the terrible memories of the alcohol come back. I don't like to use Coke as a mixer anymore because I like to drink it in my day-to-day life, and it's just... And it also, then it just tastes like a less good Coke, because then it's just a Coke with alcohol taste in it.
And I guess for the same reason you don't have like whiskey with bacon and eggs and
exactly
like Lucozade and vodka and that kind of thing.
Exactly, because that's just going to ruin that breakfast, isn't it? That hangover breakfast. So I do like a rum. I used to love a white rum. I used to like a bit of Malibu. I won't lie to you, that was the first drink I got drunk on. I remember going to a house party when I was in college and taking a bottle of Malibu and drinking pretty much the whole bottle, I think, because I was confused by how alcohol worked. And because it tastes so sweet and coconutty, because obviously it's white rum with coconut Malibu, you can very easily get that down. And I remember my mum picking me up and me trying so hard in the passenger seat to act sober. And it must have been so obvious. You know, when we will look back and we're like, it would be so obvious to me now if I had a teenage daughter and in the car she was trying to act sober. Like, it must have been the most obvious thing in the world. But to be fair, she didn't lecture me, but I was quite sick that night off the Malibu. And I can no longer drink Malibu and pineapple, which I used to quite like, because that sort of brings back those horrible memories.
So what is there a specific rum you're after?
I like a spiced rum now.
Mm-hmm.
I like a Kraken.
Ooh.
I like a standard Captain Morgan. Captain Morgan do a really nice spice rum.
There you go.
I feel like it's a good summer. I often drink more rum in summer. I'll maybe make a little mojito at home, or sometimes I'll have a rum and ting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like in summer I get more in a kind of rum mood, maybe because we just want to feel like we're Caribbean.
Gin and ting is superb.
Is it? Oh, I've never done a gin and ting. That could be my new favourite.
Sorry, what's that? I've not heard of this.
Ting is like a grapefruit fizzy drink.
Oh,
yeah, like
right.
A Caribbean.
It's equidistant between Lilt and Bitter Lemon.
Yes.
Mm.
With Lilt that they're getting rid of, I saw today.
No.
Yeah, they're discontinuing it.
Oh, my goodness me. Well, there's no hope for anyone.
John, do you often drink Lilt?
I haven't had a Lilt for 15 years, but I will defend my right to have one.
Same. This is what always happens whenever like a food or drink item is cancelled. We all go up in arms and actually we're like, yeah, but I never have it. But I want to know the options there.
Do you know what I had the other day in a chip shop, which was just blissful, was a can of Rio.
I was going to say Rio.
Oh, nice.
Rio. Why didn't I ever mix Rio with booze?
And this is the thing, you can do that. And my nieces and nephews, who are like in their sort of early 20s, we go on holiday and stuff, they'll have vodka and Fanta orange. They might have a vodka and Fanta lemon. And I never think to just mix. You can mix any soft drink with spirits.
Well, okay. So, I mean, yeah, it is getting pretty, it's youthful, the selection here. I think you're going to have a pretty strict ID policy here.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a dream. My pub is a dream for people who have very young palates.
If you get associated with underage drinking, Moonpig will drop their sponsorship like that.
Also, if I were to do food at my pub, it would be chicken nuggets, smiley faces, you know, turkey dinosaurs. I always had this dream of like opening up like a sort of trendy Northern Quarter restaurant in Manchester that did that kind of stuff. There's loads of that now. They shove smiley faces and turkey dinosaurs on anything in any place in the Northern Quarter. But I always kind of had a dream of doing that, sort of opening a restaurant for people with childlike palates.
What a treat it is turning out to be. I think we need to find out a little bit more about what else is going on in this pub. But before then, we're going to expand our literary canon as we head over into the Moon Underwater Pub Library with the lovely Robin.
That's interesting. Thanks, John. Welcome to the Moon Underwater Pub Library. And this week, it's a writer called Anna Kinsella, who is an Irish writer who lives in London now. She wrote a really, really good thing for Victuals. I don't know if you subscribe to Victuals. It's a Substack newsletter about food and drink. I don't really understand Substack. John, you're a Substacker, aren't you?
I'm a Substackian quite recently because the mailing list provider I used to update people about my stand-up just basically got shut down. Twitter bought it, then shut it down. So I'm on Substack now. And it's like a sort of, it's a way of connecting to artists through their sort of blogging, I guess.
Yeah, I found it the most confusing website I've ever looked at in my life. But no, I see what it's doing. But anyway, Victuals is a very good Substack account with lots of good things about food and drink and pubs and things. And Anna Kinsella wrote a really good piece. This was earlier this year, called 9 Ways of Looking at a Pint of Guinness, which is really good. And a few people recommended this to me, and I thought it's a really lovely piece of writing. And I'll just read the last bit. So this is the ninth way of looking at a pint of Guinness. So here we go. Here are some things I think Guinness is. It's my very first pint on holiday with friends in County Kerry. A group of us around a table, the Atlantic Ocean behind us. It's Slattery's pub in Rathmines, the old traditional interior with its corridor of mirrors and its cosy corner snug. It's watching a rugby match or a football match or a soccer match, or watching no match at all but talking about one. It's Christmas, just like in the ads, white snow falling over the black night. It's old friends. It's after the wedding ceremony, before the reception, when you've ducked into a quiet pub on the way through town. It's homecoming, often. In Dublin, during the second summer of lockdown, I sat outside Kehoe's on South Ann Street and watched a man march up to the door where the barman was waiting. The man pushed a tiny baby in a pram and was accompanied by an older woman. I've come 9,000 miles from Australia to bring my mother and my daughter here for a pint of Guinness, the man announced. Did you walk? The barman replied, deadpan, and opened the door for them. I knew how the returning emigrant felt. It's home when you're not home, and it's the knowledge of home's intricacies once you're back. For my part, I enjoy Guinness most when I'm happy, sharing it with people I love who are happy too. The rest is pub chat, the ramblings of the drinker who has spent too long at the bar.
That's lovely.
It's really good. You should read the whole piece. It's brilliant.
That's
it's
beautiful. Very, very good. I really, really enjoyed that.
That's amazing.
Long live the pub.
Yeah.
And exactly. I think sort of that, in a way, explains what Substack is for, because where else would that live? It's a good way of just sort of communicating stuff to people wider than just you might be able to on your website.
Yeah, unless that was a piece commissioned by Guinness or something like, where else would it sit? Yeah, unless it was an ad. Yeah, but that is beautiful. I love that. I'm also at that stage in life where I think when you get into your 30s, you're so about the pub. Like a couple of nights out I've had recently, we've for some reason ended up in like a club, and I just don't want to be anywhere. I want to sit down. Like I just want to sit in a cozy pub. Maybe there's a fire. Maybe there's karaoke and have some good chat and drink some pink gin.
We're about to head over to the jukebox here in the Moon Underwater, but I wanted to ask you more about what you see inside of this pub of yours. Obviously, the selection of drinks so far is pretty dynamic. It's quite sweet. What are there sort of entertainment forms? Is there a sort of a vibe to the decor? Is there a theme, anything like that?
I do love a pub singer. I'm all for a pub with entertainment and a pub singer, but I also do want a lot of karaoke. I think I'd have a pub singer on 5 days a week and karaoke on the other two. Friday, Saturday nights are for the karaoke. The pub singer, you know, you've got a good singer on for the other nights, and then those two nights are reserved for the people like me who are frustrated pop stars. We can't sing, but on a Friday, Saturday night down the Mountain Dew, it doesn't matter. I ask the karaoke man to put the backing vocals up pretty high so no one knows how bad it is, and I get to be one of those pop stars for a minute. I love it.
What's your go-to?
So my usual go-to is ABBA, Thank You for the Music. There's a few reasons I like this one. Number one, it's basically a song about how great a singer she is. So there's a nice irony in it. When you're singing, everyone listens when I start to sing, when you're a bad singer like me. I enjoy that. She also says in it, I'm the girl with golden hair. So I like to sort of waft my blonde hair about when I do that bit. It's a good crowd play. Everyone, oh, thank you for the music. It's also the only song with sort of like a high note that I, for some reason, can hit. That note at the end where, what a life, what a chance. And that just gets everyone, everyone loves that. You know, they eat it up. So that's one of my favourites. I've recently been doing a little bit of Hopelessly Devoted to You as well from Greece. I just did that one day. And I did it at the pub. There's two pubs we go to for the karaoke. And one of them, I think he has the music up really high. So I sang that in this one pub. And I thought, God, I can sing that so well. That's brilliant. Then I did it a few weeks later in the other pub and it was absolutely disastrous. So I think it was something to do with either his microphone or how loud he had the music. So whenever I go to that pub, I like to do a bit of that.
Fantastic choices. We'll have to come and see you perform.
You would always be welcome with me and Hacker the Dog, Phil Fletcher, down the Mountain Dew. It's a bloody great night, honestly, let me tell you. He also has the same disgustingly sweet taste in drinks as me, so much so that his new thing is getting a Disaronno on the rocks and pretending it's a whiskey.
Ah, we've all done that.
I'm not. I don't mind that. We've discussed this quite a lot. Like, we've discussed drinks that taste like what you thought whiskey might taste like when you were younger.
If only whiskey tasted like Disaronno, I would be so on the whiskey.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what he does now, and has it in a sort of like whiskey glass so that he can look like he's just having a whiskey on the rocks with his mature palate, but actually it's just pure Disaronno, and it's so sweet. And then he always gets a round of shots as well whenever we go to that pub, and the only shots they do are like cherry and apple sours. And you, honestly, I think you could do about 30 of them and you wouldn't feel an effect. Like,
bloody hell. Hacker's just slightly kind of weirder the next day or something.
Absolutely. I think the sort of the decor wise, do you know what I think is so very important? Low level lighting. I want good lighting for the selfies. And too many pubs these days, just this bright sort of lighting. It needs to be nice and moody and really sort of be set in the mood and be good for a selfie. I like a cozy vibe in a pub.
Yeah, you're so right. There is a bit of a fashion for quite stark sort of industrial style lighting in pubs. You would agree with that, wouldn't you, Rob?
Oh yeah, I'm thinking of this Green King pub we went to on Saturday, which might be the worst pub I think I've ever been to.
Yeah, it was pretty appalling.
But that was quite brightly lit, and they were playing that Jess Glynn song, no offence to Jess Glynn, but it just makes me feel car sick when
I
hear it.
No one needs that. That doesn't sound
what's
good.
What's the lyric?
Darling, hold my hand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If that's ever playing in a pub, walk straight out of the pub.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
I think it's that.
Is that the one that they play on Jet 2? Is that why everyone has it? That's why. Why did she or Jet 2 think that was a good idea? Because everyone just resents it so much now.
It was a real catastrophe, that pub, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, speaking of music, both appropriate and inappropriate for a pub, what album are you going to add to the Moon Underwater Jukebox?
I thought long and hard about this. It's hard to just pick one album, isn't it, from all your favourite albums? But I think I'm going to go with Arctic Monkeys and AM, which I think is the best Arctic Monkeys album. And this is the album that, this was out when me and my husband first started sort of seeing each other. So I feel like we just very much fell in love to this album.
Aww.
And we got a lot of fond memories. Like so many of I feel like this album just tells a story of us sort of getting together and yeah, we love it. And I have lots of nice pub memories from that time as well. I feel like we started going out. We just lived like money was no object. He lived in the centre of Manchester at the time. We were just eating out, drinking out every weeknight, like you do when you first get into a relationship. And then you're like, oh, we better start saving for a deposit on a house or something. And then that kind of stopped. So I've got a lot of nice, fond memories of cosy pubs at that time as well, like going sitting in a nice chair with a glass of wine and by a fire. And so I thought I'd go for that one.
A glass of wine and lemonade.
Back then it would have been a glass of wine and lemonade, yeah, before I got my head. I honestly felt we got married a year and a half ago. And literally overnight, so we got married in October, and then that Christmas, I started drinking gin and Baileys. And Alex was like, oh my God, you've just like become a wife. Because I feel like both of those drinks, like my mum and sister drink a lot of gin and they'll have a Baileys, and I never appreciated either of those things until then. And I was like, I've started drinking wine with no lemonade, gin and Baileys. So I was like, God, I've become like a proper woman.
Absolutely.
It was like a transition. We got married and I all of a sudden liked all the mum drinks.
The mum's cabinet.
Exactly.
So next up is your wild card choice. Now, quite a lot resting on this.
Yeah.
Oh God, don't get high hopes.
Can you redeem yourself?
There's a big sort of proportion of the public who are waiting for this choice to see if they can if they've got anything to order here. But I do like that your pub is very much your pub. You could have said, oh, I'll have Coke Zero and a lager for people who drink lager, but no.
Oh, I've been quite selfish there, haven't I? Yeah,
yeah, but it's your pub.
It's my pub. I'm going for my own option. I don't like lager. Okay, my wildcard choice is a Lumumba. Do you know a Lumumba, Robin?
No, I don't know a Lumumba.
So a Lumumba is brandy and chocolate milk.
This is a
drink that my family have when we go on holiday to Spain. For some reason, we just always have it on a family holiday. It's a nightcap drink. So it'll get to a point in the evening where we're off the wine, we're off the rum, the whiskey, the gin, whatever it's been, and we'll all have a Lumumba. And again, for years, I didn't really get involved with the Lumumba. And now me and one of my nephews have gravitated onto it because we both realised that we love chocolate milk. So can it be so bad with a bit of brandy in it? And it's not. It's bloody lovely. And you can have them both hot and cold, but we like them cold.
Right, because you're not into the hot drinks.
No, yes.
Because I was going to say, my girlfriend just got a Velvetizer. You know, one of these hotel chocolat things? It's a little machine which you actually put actual chocolate in and it melts it down.
Oh my God.
In quite a hypnotic way into a hot chocolate.
That is very exciting.
We've had to stop buying the sachets because we're like getting through 2 or 3 a day.
You're just drinking chocolate all day long.
No, not that many, but I reckon that with a little bit of brandy in would be delicious.
Oh yeah, that would be good. Give it a try for sure. So it tastes so nice. You have to be very careful in Spain. We had like an ongoing joke with one of the waiters going because, you know, with the language barrier, he brought them hot a couple of times. So then in the end, we were going brrr and doing like a sort of cold every time we ordered one. And then it became an ongoing joke with one of our favourite waiters there at the hotel. He would always go brrr to us. We'd be like, yeah, do it brrr. Don't want it hot, want it brrr. It's a delicious drink. A great nightcap. Like, I feel like as soon as I have one of them, that's it. I'm ready for bed. But also, they are lethal. You've got to be careful not to start too early on them. It's a nightcap for a reason because it's strong.
Is it sort of adjacent to a chocolate Baileys?
It is a bit Baileys-ish, yeah. Less of a kind of like coffee taste than Baileys, I guess. But yeah, it's got a Baileys.
Surprised that there isn't more of a market for sort of alcoholic milkshakes. You'd think that could be quite sort of on trend, quite a cool thing to do, to go really to town with ice cream and that Baileys point.
Mm. Absolutely. I mean, I could drink pints of Baileys, I reckon, but I refrain from doing so because I'll get immediate diabetes, I'm sure.
Someone had a pint of Baileys in The Moon Underwater once, didn't they?
Yeah, Sophie Hagen.
That's right, yeah.
And she was very, very annoyed that a lot of places refused to serve Baileys in pint glasses.
She can come to my pub anytime. I would let her have a Baileys in a pint glass. You've got to have ice in it, though, as well, with a Baileys. And same with the Lumumba.
Yeah, I think a pint of Baileys would be catastrophically expensive.
True.
What's that, 10 Baileys? So say a Baileys £4. So you're not getting much change out of £50.
But you know what? The Aldi Baileys, Ballycastle, quite good dupe. So you could always just get the Sainsbury's do a good one as well. That's a good dupe.
Yeah, one of them's called O'Grady's.
The sort of
Baileys knockoff.
I love an Aldi knockoff name. What's their gin? Because it's like Gordon's, but it's not. Oh, Glenson's or something.
It is.
I love it. They do a good pink gin.
Well, Katie, we have to whisk you away from our Johnny Come Fly Be Nightlies because those who don't support the podcast on Patreon don't get to hear your dream pub companion choice. That's just one of the many billions of exciting treats you get for paying £6 a month to get access. Well, it's not that I say billions. That's a complete lie. I think there's 6 or 7 things, including but not limited to advance warning of live tickets for live events, the bonus podcast Behind the Cellar Door, and the aforementioned Dream Pub Companion. So for those who don't subscribe, we'll see you back very shortly. But the rest of you, come on in.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
We return now, folks, and what a time we've had with Katie's dream pub companion. But we've got two more little bits of business before we send you back off into the night, Katie. First off, what are you barring from your dream pub?
You're barred.
I'm barring rubbish glasses because I think there's so much in the glass. And I hate when, and this is the thing, some of the pubs I go to that are a little bit, you know, a little bit rough around the edges, and they'll serve you a glass of white wine in the smallest glass, and I want it in a big glass with a thin stem. And the same, if I go to a pub and I get a gin and lemonade and they put it in a tumbler, oh, my other half knows to. And also when you order a white wine spritzer, which I don't do as much anymore, but when you do, sometimes they put that in a tumbler with ice. No, it's a wine. So my other half knows to, if they start pouring a gin or a wine in a tumbler, he knows to say to them, I want a big gin glass, I want some berries in there, I want ice, you know, stick a flower in perhaps. It just, so much is in the glass, I think, and how the drink looks.
You can see why they might pop gin and lemonade, wine and lemonade, especially in a tumbler.
Yeah. But it's just that to me just feels like I'm having a glass of water at home. It's boring. It needs to be in a fun glass.
You want to feel a bit fancy.
Yes.
I don't do this, though, but my mum and sister, I've not quite adopted this habit yet, even though I have taken on a lot of their other drinking habits, like the Baileys, the Lumumba, the Sauvignon Blanc. They like to steal a glass from time to time from a pub. The hotel that we go to quite a lot in Mallorca, on the last night of one of our holidays there, I went up to my mum and dad's room and I looked and there was two of each kind of glass. Like a sort of glass Noah's Ark, if you will. There was wine glasses, gin glasses, Prosecco glasses, whiskey glasses, every glass you could think of, all cleaned and dried with a bit of tissue in each one. And I said to my dad, what the hell's this? And he said, oh, God, it's your mum. She's been getting a different drink every night and then bringing the glass up to the room and cleaning it, and she's taking them all home with her. And they've all got the hotel branding on. So the worst thing is we've got Miguel, our favourite waiter, there on Facebook. And one day, Mother's Day, I put a load of photos of us in my mum's living room and she was like, oh, my God, the glasses. Miguel's going to see them.
Amazing.
And I was like, well, that's what thieving, that, you know, if you're going to steal these things, then, that, you know, you're going to get found out.
I had a competition one year in Edinburgh with my flatmate George Egg, who's visited the Moon Underwater, where we had to find the best pint glass in Edinburgh and we would see who could get the best one. But I found a pint glass so nice that I went up to the bar and said, if I put a tenner in the tip jar, can I take this home? And I felt that was a very pleasant transaction.
That's good. I like that you did that, yeah. Because I actually grassed my mum up for this on Radio 1 recently, and lots of people texted in to say, a few people said, oh, that's out of order. But most people said, oh, they get them from the breweries usually. So unless it is a really special one, I think a lot of them maybe come from. But it's still the brewery. Someone's paying for it. But I think that's a nice thing to do, definitely. My sister will often come back from the Cuban bar in Manchester with a, you know, pineapple-shaped cocktail glass or something from time to time.
What's your least favourite glass, Rob?
Oh, I don't like those big steins.
Oh, you're not like a stein?
No. Well, sometimes you get certain beers that are poured in a stein. And I just find it sometimes, because of the way the shape of the glass, that it tends to make it less fizzy.
It's quite hard to drink out of a stein, actually.
It is too heavy. It's quite a lot of work on the wrist. Mm. And also, you don't like those beer Moretti sort of big tulip ones, do you?
Oh, do you not like
those?
No,
I don't like the tulip
ones. I quite like
them.
We've got a couple of those at home, and I like a Coke in them from time to time. Yeah, there's so much in a glass. It's so important. The taste is completely different. Depending on the glass.
Well, what a journey it's been, Katie. thank you so much for coming to the Moon Underwater. You have created... Well, I mean, what's the word? It's sort of quite. It's got a diabetic vibe to it. It's Coke Zero and Diet Coke on draft, J2O and Oyster Bay Sauvignon Blanc in the bottles. We've got Pink Gin, Two Birds, Strawberry and Vanilla, available from moonpig.com, Captain Morgan's Spiced Rum, and a Lumumba, which is a mixture of brandy and chocolate milk. What glass would a Lumumba be served in, ideally?
So that should be in kind of a small, like kind of like a whiskey glass type thing, I think. So similar to maybe what you do, or a sherry glass or something, like you do a Bailey's.
Oh, so it's not a long, it's not a tall drink.
Now I'm thinking about it, though. No, it's kind of changed. Yeah, sometimes I'll bring it in a small tumbler, sometimes a large one. It can be in a large one. It can be, yeah.
Okay, so it's just up to the individual churchgoer.
Yeah.
You've got a very, very exciting pub companion. You've also got Arctic Monkeys AM playing for memories of meeting and dating your husband, which is, I think it's very sweet when people fall in love to sort of rock albums.
Mm.
Hurry up, please. It's time.
There's not a rubbish glass in sight, but what are we going to call this place?
Okay, so bear with me, because this is a rubbish name, but there's a story behind it. So me and my friends, I don't even know where this comes from. Oh, I do know exactly where it comes from. There is a pub near us called the Jill and something, and I've got a friend called Jill, who is in her 30s, despite sounding like she's 80. The Jill, what's it called? It's called the Something and Jill. And we just find it really funny that it's got her name in the pub. So we will often joke, if we go to a pub, change the name. So we will go, so say it's the Red Lion, we'll call it the Red Jill or the Red Katie or the Katie and Pheasant or the, you know. So I am very simply going for, because this is one of the things that we do, the Dog and Katie. Because, of course, you know, the dog and whatever, popular pub name. And I am dog mad, dog obsessed. Another thing I would have in my pub is I'd have it be a dog-friendly pub, because even though I don't have a dog of my own, I'm obsessed with dogs and I like to accost dogs in the local pubs when they're there. So I would be very much welcoming all the dogs in and having it be dog-friendly. So therefore, I would call it the Dog and Katie.
Well, does Phil know that this is the only reason you're hanging out with him is because he's the closest you've got to a real dog?
Honestly, when I was on CBBC, I used to go, can we get a dog? Blue Peter have a dog? Can we have a dog? Because obviously I wanted one, but I didn't have time for one because I was always at work. And I thought, well, that's great. I can bring it in. And they'd go, you've got a hacker. And I'd be like, well, not the same. It's really fun watching real dogs interact with hackers. Some of them love him. Some of them hate him.
Oh, really?
It's really weird because they obviously know. They know it's more than like a toy or a teddy. They know it's not a dog. They're so confused by it. It's somewhere in between, and they're like, you know, their reaction to it is great.
I guess it's both a dog and not a dog.
They know it won't smell like a dog, but they're like, but it's moving like a dog. It's not a teddy. It's very confusing for them, poor things.
Well, we thank you so much for joining us here in the Moon Underwater, and we send you out into the night here in the correct realm to make your journey back. And the Dog and Katie is with you to take wherever you want and to have whenever you need it the most. Bye-bye.
I've loved it. Thank you both.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.